Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More unrest last night in Philadelphia as we watched a clash between protesters and police, with police being injured in the wake of, civil unrest. And it's come to this once again, and we as Americans sit and watch. And I guess at this point, you just kind of wonder, where's the next place going to be? Is it going to be near my home? And how is any of this ever going to stop? Well, I want to talk to our friend Jim Carafano a bit about this. He's a leading expert in national security and also foreign policy at Heritage Foundation. And Jim, you've been watching these riots as they've taken place across the country over the course of this entire summer, leading up to even last night. Are you surprised that they're still breaking out in the evenings in our big cities?
No, because it's almost formulaic now. Is there's an incident and that either becomes an excuse or an excuse to parachute a bunch of people in and start a riot. So we really have kind of two categories of public disturbances here. One is kind of the Seattle, Portland, Chicago's of the world, where literally you have permissive government, rogue prosecutors that created the space really to normalize this. And essentially you have an ongoing campaign, kind of like the Siege of Troy. And then you have places like kind of Kenosha, Wisconsin, where something happens, everybody parachutes in, they burn the city to the ground. Then, of course, the city doesn't really want them there. Police crack down, law enforcement steps in, they go away and they move on. So it's this distinction between the permissive environment and kind of the target of opportunity. But it is going to continue as long as we allow the organizations that sponsor and foment this to continue to support that, and as long as politicians and media are willing to ignore or enable the violence.
Jim Carafano, in those three cities that you just mentioned just now, Chicago, Portland, and Seattle, in those permissive environments, has the violence ever really completely gone away, or is it still happening now?
I think it's still ongoing, particularly in Portland, where it's almost like habitual. But it's very, very targeted. They get together and they decide, whose life are we going to make miserable tonight?
Yeah, it seems as though that there isn't a solution to the problem for what is being disrupted over how, could you show up and hand these people something that they want and cause this unrest to go away? I mean, that seems laughable almost.
Well, one, I think, is if you prosecute people, a lot of this stops. We saw this, for example, where there was that real rash of going after statues, and then the federal government came out and said, federal statute, 10 years in prison, started prosecuting people. Like that dried up in a New York minute. So certainly holding people accountable, that is a big deterrent. I think having public officials and law enforcement be on the same sheet of music and willing to protect the citizens in their city, that's another big deterrent. So, yeah, I do think there are ways that you can, not make it like coming to a theater near you. You can actually say, not in my city, this isn't going to happen.
So what exactly is going to happen in Philadelphia? I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to know.
Yeah, you know, I have to be here, you know, I have to be honest. I don't track every city individually, and I don't know how the leadership of Philadelphia is going to come down on this. But I can tell you this: I know what works and what doesn't. I know the difference between a Kenosha and a Portland.
Yeah, I think that the action that was taken, you know, the president has said multiple times that he is willing to send help. All they need to do is ask. What is the process that, you know, because everybody can sit behind a camera and say, well, this person's not doing their job and this person's not showing up to do their job. The president is saying, I'll send help. They just need to ask. I can't do it unless they ask. And then you see some of these mayors who say, we don't want your kind here. But then the problems persist.
That's right. And then, as we saw in Kenosha, they did ask for assistance, and they brought in both additional law enforcement from outside communities, and they brought in the National Guard, and, you know, they pretty much shut everything down. And you saw a situation, I don't remember if it was Portland or Seattle, where they actually went out to other law enforcement communities, agencies surrounding communities, and said, come and help us. And they said, no, we're not going to help you. You don't prosecute anybody you arrest. You don't back up the police in your thing. We're not going to come and help you. You're on your own, dude. So it really, the way our system is structured, and rightly so, I would say this, because, you know, power is devolved down to the community because the community is responsible for itself. As local officials turn to the state and ask for assistance, if the state cannot provide it, the state turns to the federal government, and then the federal government provides that assistance. And for these communities that are facing rioting and that kind of stuff, you bet. There's plenty of willingness for the federal government to provide resources if the state and local communities need them. That could be additional law enforcement. It could be military support to protect facilities and property. So it's there if people ask for it.
I want to ask you, shift gears a little bit here. We're speaking with Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation about some conversation that came up during the debate. When we move back to the 2016 campaigns, immigration was a huge topic. You know, chance of build that wall were a platform, a keystone of President Trump's campaign for president. We haven't heard much about immigration lately, really, at all. And the president is still invested in time and money in building a wall and continuing that. But when you listen to the contrast of what the alternative would offer us going forward if Joe Biden were to get elected, you start hearing a lot about illegal aliens and amnesty and the potential of what could happen with a Biden presidency. I'm curious your thoughts on this issue specifically.
It's not because it's not a big issue. It actually, the reason why they aren't talking about it is because they're diametrically opposed on this issue. Their policies are literally polar opposites. But what that means is the people that support them, they're with them. And the people that don't, they're not going to change anybody's minds. So what the candidates just found is if you're going after the other side of the middle, this isn't the issue to talk to them about. We actually saw that in the third debate where Biden actually said, I will give amnesty to everybody that's here illegally. Well, that immediately created a firestorm that actually created lots of problems for him. First of all, a bunch of Yahoo liberals got on and said, because Trump talked about coyotes, and they actually thought they were talking about animals dragging people across the border. And they weren't even smart enough to know that coyote is a human trafficker that works for a cartel. But, you know, just saying, I'll give everybody amnesty, that is basically advertising for the cartels. They're going to recruit tens of thousands of people who give them tens of millions of dollars to rush the border because they think maybe they'll get here and get amnesty. And then once the people get across, then the sun, the fentanyl and everything else, that immediately created a massive backlash and gave people a reason not to vote for the candidate. So, yeah, I just think that the candidates really don't talk about it, because there's no votes to be gotten there. Everybody is where they are in this. And it's incredible. I've in my 25 years, you know, believe what you want, vote for you want for, I don't care. But in my 25 years of doing this, I have never seen two candidates so completely polar opposite on what they would do in immigration and border security, literally night and day.
Jim Carafano is a leading expert in national security and foreign policy at Heritage. Speaking of that debate, Jim, President Trump touted his record on this. And of course, everybody likes to look at the wall and how much wall has been built and how much hasn't been built and how much has been spent on it. But he's done a lot of other things that he was pointing to. What exactly is he, what does he like to say, this is what I've done for immigration?
Well, so first of all, he's cooperated with Mexico and Central America to really help stem the flow of illegal migration, which hurts their countries as well. So that's a big part of it. The second thing, of course, he has built, it would be up to 400 miles of more by the end of the year, which really covers the main smuggling corridors. That helps a lot. He's really unleashed law enforcement to go after the cartels. That's helped a lot. He's really kind of taken away all the loopholes. The reason, like, just jut over the wall, and as soon as you get in, they've got to let you go in the United States. So, you know, we were having people coming claiming refugee status when, like, 99% of them were fraudulent or not verified claims. So he's taken a lot of the loopholes away. And, of course, they've been deporting people, and we're actually deporting more people than come into the country. So he's – and, look, and the reason why he can do this and why Obama or – Bush couldn't, as they all wanted a deal, and it was, well, we're not going to do anything unless we get a deal. And Trump said, fine, don't do a deal. I'm just going to go and enforce the laws on the books. And but just by doing that, you know, he's really been effective at his policies. Now, you may like them or you may hate them, but you cannot argue they're not incredibly effective over the last 4 years.
Let me ask you one last question before we let you go, Jim. When the president was talking about how, you know, the catch and release thing, that was kind of a little bit of a blip there in that conversation, suggesting that we catch people, we tell them, here's your court date, you come back. Trump said most of them don't come back, and Joe Biden said they do come back. What's the truth on that?
Here's what the truth is. There are a lot of people that don't show up for their hearings. There are a lot of people that actually do show up for their hearings, but, and this is the big but that Joe Biden didn't mention, when their hearing is over and the order is to be deported, they don't show up for deportation. So virtually nobody who goes through the process and is ordered deported voluntarily shows up to be deported.
Yeah.
So yeah, literally, if you are catch and release in the United States, that's, you know, the get out of jail free card, never go home. Yeah. Because then they got to go find you and round you up and send you out.
Well, Jim Carafano, we will be speaking to you next week, one day before Election Day gets here, and a lot at stake for sure. But these are all important issues that need to be discussed, and we're always grateful to have you on with us.
Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.